whelmed pylon, which is kind of the Murphy's Law pylon. I just don't know what to do with my life right now. There's too many decisions to make. I don't know what to do, and it feels like there's a pylon of some sort. Maybe it's just that stinking devil himself doing everything he can to influence you with evil things and evil thoughts, and he's just trying to do his darndest. There are other kinds of pylons, but you get it, don't you? And you probably have experienced one or more of those kinds of pylons in your life at some point. What do you do with those pylons? Sometimes you look and say, because your life is really piled on, that my pile is bigger than your pile, but I don't think we understand the pile that other people have for them is just as big as anyone else's pile. Just to say briefly, Jolene oftentimes would say, you know, I'd look at her and say, I don't know, she's had over 30 surgeries before she went home to be with the Lord. She struggled with multiple surgeries and cancer on more than one occasion, and she finally succumbed to cancer, but she would never be one, even though she'd tell you how many surgeries she had, if someone else was hurting, she knew that their pile was big for them. She wasn't really one to sit there and compare her pile to someone else's pile. You know? This mother-in-law with a fever that Jesus was healing. Her pile at that point in time. The demon-possessed that he healed, certainly there was a huge pile on there. And the sick that came to him. You know, it says he healed many. Doesn't say that he healed all. There are people who didn't come to him that weren't healed. Maybe they didn't hear he was coming. Maybe they didn't believe he could heal. But I want to get to something this morning that I think Jesus was trying to get to, and it was hard to get to it because people were stuck on the healing, and it's this. He wanted us to go deeper than just that healing. He wanted us to go deeper than just the fact that the woman who had a fever no longer had a fever. The person who was demon-possessed was no longer demon-possessed. The sick were made well again. People got stuck on that piece and they wouldn't go deeper. And Jesus wanted them to go deeper. In fact, in the Gospel of Mark, sometimes he said, don't go and tell what I just did. I don't think people are ready for what I really want to tell them. And that is, there is a deeper healing than just that. I think of Lazarus. We talked about it briefly yesterday. Lazarus was healed. He was dead, stinking in the tomb. And Jesus brought him out of the tomb and he had life again. And I'm thinking, you know, if Lazarus had life again, you know what else he had again? Stubbed toes and aches and pains and the stuff that life here brings us from time to time. Eventually, he went home to be with the Lord, but he came back to the same thing. Jesus, I believe, was trying to help us to understand all the pylons that we have in our life. I want you to understand those pylons can be taken care of at a far deeper level if you'll just go there. I believe Jesus' primary purpose was not just to heal the temporal, but the eternal. He came, and it says in Isaiah, if you look back at the text, you know, what a beautiful text it is about someone who did so much for us. It says what? He took up our infirmities. He didn't say that, I care about your infirmities, and you deal with them yourself. It says here in the text that he took up our infirmities, doesn't it? There was something deeper going on here than just a physical kind of healing. This isn't what means. It's deeper than that. What else does it say? He carried our sorrows. He doesn't say, I feel bad that you feel sorrowful and I hope you don't feel sorrowful anymore. He carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was going deeper. Deeper than just the temporal. Deeper than what you and I see oftentimes is our most immediate need. God, I've got a pylon in my life right now and I want you to take care of this pylon. And he's saying, Dave, the pylon going on right now is a bunch of temporal things. I want you to go deeper and realize that I am there to carry all of that pile that you have and take you to a place where you remember, I say, cast your cares upon me because I care for you. Where you remember that you can take your burdens to Him and He'll make the yoke easier and the burden lighter. That's what He wanted to show those who were here in Matthew early in His ministry. This wasn't late in His ministry. This was early in His ministry. He was trying to show them, first of all, I'm God come in human flesh. He's not there saying, look what I can do. But He's saying, I am God come in human flesh and I can do things that you can't do. I want to show you that I can heal you. But I want to show you deeper than just the physical. Actually, in chapter 9, when He was healing the paralytic, what did He say? He didn't say be healed. He said what? In that text in chapter 9, He says, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. He was going deeper. He was already going deeper here and letting him know what you really need healed from is your sin. Not your paralysis, but He did heal him. His paralysis. Jesus certainly cares about what we see as hurting us. There's no doubt about it. But He wants to show us what is hurting us more and heal it. That's what He wants to do. I believe there's one healing that God will always do. He doesn't always heal the physical. Doesn't always heal the emotional. Doesn't always heal the financial. Doesn't always heal those kinds of things. But I believe with all of my heart, there's one healing God will always do if we'll give it to Him. If we'll ask Him with our heart, there's one healing God will always do. And that's He'll heal our soul. And He'll give us an eternal home in heaven. That one He will always do if we're open to it. I believe that with all my heart, 100% guaranteed. Not 99.5 or 92.8 or 51.6, but 100% of the time. Following Him doesn't exempt us from difficulty, though. Sometimes it means things get tough and difficult. In fact, the second half of the text that I was reading this morning, that was read this morning by Bill, the cost of following Jesus, it isn't always easy. He says, I myself don't have a place to lay my head. I'm wandering all over the place. What really He deserved was a royal palace and treated like royalty. And instead He's wandering around day after day after day, letting people know the good news of Jesus Christ. But He was also letting them know, you know what? My journey is going to take a turn that's not real pleasant. You may have to take the same journey that's not always real pleasant, but that pylon you feel, I'll take care of. It didn't mean we wouldn't go hungry. It didn't mean that we wouldn't be sick. It didn't mean that we would even be homeless. It meant He would be with us and He would take us through whatever it is that we have to go through. That's the promise. That's the promise. When the storm would come, He promises us that the calm will follow. Didn't say the storm wouldn't come. But He promises us the calm will follow if we'll trust Him with our heart. So you can know when the pylon is there, He'll take care of it. And the pylon will come off. If we'll trust Him with it, but we got to realize what really is piling on. As I said earlier, and I'll end with this, He does actually take our pile for us. He took up our infirmities, He carried our diseases, and He takes our punishment. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a wonderful Lord we have, one that was prophesied about 700 years earlier in Isaiah. And we see it right here in the Gospel of Matthew, and we see it over 2,000 years later in our lives. He took up my infirmities. He took up my diseases, and He took up my punishment. And He'd do the same thing for you. We have an amazing Savior, don't we? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. God, as we are gathered here together this morning, we give you thanks and praise for who you are. For the fact that you're always there for us, even like that picture showed us earlier this morning of the little boy and probably his older sister on that roller coaster ride, and your spirit is right there holding our hand, saying, even though we might be freaked out, we got this. God, we know in Christ we've got this. We can take anything that comes our way. And we know that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. And we celebrate that this morning as we're gathered here, as we are going to be in just a few moments celebrating Holy Communion. Thank you, God. Remind us of that so we know who it is and what it is that you're doing and taking that pile off us. Thank you for taking up our infirmities, our diseases, our punishment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.